Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And I was just thinking as he was singing that song, God sure is good to us, isn't he? And certainly blesses us. Think about the choir song, that firm foundation that we can stand upon, and that love that he has for us each and every day of our lives. What a great blessing that is. And sure appreciate you being in the Lord's house this evening, and a sense of just a wonderful spirit here tonight through the music. And hopefully I don't mess that up, I guess, at this point, right? And someone said something to me before the service about making sure you preach short. And then I was shaking hands, and my son down here, he said something to me, and I thought he said, preach short. And I said, what'd you say? And he said, preach the word. And I said, I thought you said preach short. And he said, oh, yeah, do that too. So so I will attempt to do both and preach the word, but not keep you long tonight. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to James in chapter 1 this evening, James in chapter 1. And, of course, we've been going through this book verse by verse and just looking at it. And one of the thoughts that we're looking at is the marks of spiritual maturity, and the lessons that we can apply to our daily lives that will help us grow into spiritual maturity. And, of course, chapter 1, we've been looking at the trials of our faith, those times of difficulty that we go through. And, again, we've made the point several times already that everyone deals with trouble. Everyone deals with difficulty, and we've looked at how God uses difficulty in all of our lives to grow us into the Christian that he desires us to be. We've also looked at the thought that the devil, in the time that God is working through those difficulties, the devil also desires to turn us away from God in those times and cause us to sin. And yet the great help that God has made available to us, and it's just a wonderful thing because we do go through trials and we do go through troubles. So tonight I want to pick up our reading in verse 19. We're going to read down through verse 25. And so if you'll stand this evening, if you're able to, as we read the Word of God this evening, probably one of the more familiar passages of Scripture in the book of James. And so we're going to read verses 19 down through verse 25 this evening. The Bible says there in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And as I look at this passage, I see two simple steps that God gives to us, really through the life of James as he records this. Two simple steps to find God's help in my time of need. Two simple steps: receiving the Word of God and then applying the Word of God to my life. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're thankful for who you are. Lord, we're thankful that you would meet with us, and we're thankful as the songs, Lord, have spoken tonight, Lord, and what a great blessing they have been, of the role that you desire to play in our lives, Lord, of that firm foundation and that love that's available to us, and Lord, even the hope of heaven that we heard about earlier tonight. What a great blessing that is. And I pray that you'd help us now as we open up your word, Lord, as we continue through this book of James. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the reading and the studying of your word tonight. Lord, help me as I speak. I pray for each and every person that's gathered here tonight that you would help them, Lord, as they listen and apply your word to their heart. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I don't know if it's because I'm somewhat simple-minded, but I like simple instructions. I like A, B, and C, and get to a desired result. And therefore, as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this passage, I detest going to IKEA. How many of you have ever been to IKEA? It's a trap. Don't go. I'm telling you. There is nothing simple about that store, including the layout. It's a maze. It's not amazing. It's a maze. You walk in that store. There's no such thing as just going in and getting something and getting out. You have to go and you have to look through all these rooms and you have to look at maps on the wall and you have to go through trap doors over here and then you find what you want and you have to take a picture if you have to write some codes down and then you have to go into a huge room and you have to find an aisle and then you have to find all the pieces that go along with that. And then the only good thing is you can save some money there, but you will not be happy when you get home and you open up that tiny box and a whole dresser is supposed to come out of that thing and there's a million pieces and it's just not simple. And yet as we approach this passage tonight, I love it because James lays out for us some very simple steps, some very practical steps as we live the Christian life that will help us in every problem that we face. Will help us really as we live our daily lives to simply, the Bible says here, that we should receive the Word of God and then we should apply the Word of God to our individual situation. Amen. Receiving God's Word and then applying God's Word. I want you to understand, listen, God has given us an incredible book in His Word. The truths of God's Word are applicable to every part of our lives. The Bible says this book is a living book. It's alive and it can be applicable to our daily lives. And as we go through times of difficulty and really as we go through times of blessing, God's Word is to be applied to our lives. And yet, as complicated as an IKEA manual is, I'll tell you, you can. It may take you 13 hours, but you'll get to that end result if you follow all the steps. And yet, how true is it if we'll follow the steps lined out in God's Word? The simplicity of God's Word, if we'll simply follow these steps, we'll find God's help in our time of need. Find God's help in our time of difficulty. And so two steps tonight from this passage. First of all, we are to receive the Word of God. Very simply, as Christians, as God's people, we are to receive the Word of God that's been given to us. The Bible says there in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." We're to be swift to hear what God's Word has to say to us. Praise the Lord for a preacher that'll stand up and preach behind the pulpit and open up a Bible. Praise the Lord for a Sunday school teacher that'll take some time to study and to present God's Word. Praise the Lord for the Christian that opens up God's Word and studies God's Word on a daily basis in your private devotional life. And yet the Bible tells us that we are to be receiving God's Word. The Bible says in verse 21, "Lay apart filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word." And so we find out here in this passage that the first step to the help that we need is receiving the Word of God. He even breaks this down further, and I want to give you a couple thoughts under this idea of receiving the Word of God. And the first thought is this: a wise Christian will run to God's Word. A wise Christian will run to God's Word, especially in difficulty. He says there in verse 19, of course we read it already a couple of times, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." I would run to God's available help for me. Now the word "wherefore" in verse 19, anytime we see that in the Scripture, it points us to the preceding passages, those things that we've already studied, the context of this passage. And specifically in verse 18, we find what God has done in our lives through the gospel. And we studied this the last time we were in the book of James. The Bible says in verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." We said this, listen, the gospel changes our position. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We used to be slaves to this world. We were slaves to sin, but when the word of God was preached and we received it and we accepted it, it changed our position. We are now sons of God. What a wonderful truth that we find here in the Scripture. And then he goes on to say this. He goes, not only does it change our position, but it changes our disposition. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That when we get saved, the gospel begins to mold us and shape us into the image of God. Amen. And so as we think about it, understand this. Wherefore, when we read that in verse 19, he's pointing us back to the change that has already taken place in our lives. And I want to say it this way. As a Christian, you are more equipped to deal with life and its disappointments and its trials than you were before you were saved. Because you have the help of God in your life. Because he's changed you. You are no longer a slave to sin. You're a son of God, and he's changed you, and he's conforming you into his image. And so as we think about the things that life throws at us on a daily basis, life throws at us disappointments, does it not? How many of you have ever been disappointed in this life? I think every one of us could raise our hand. Life throws at us discouragements, times of difficulty. And the truth is, again, we've said this before, everyone faces problems, but the Christian has help for their problems. And the wise Christian will run to God's word. The wise Christian, I tell you, will take advantage of the opportunities to hear the preached word of God. The opportunity that we have to gather on a Sunday morning and Sunday night and on Wednesday night and revival services and special services to hear the word of God preached, because I realize I'm dealing with some difficulties in this life. I'm dealing with some hard times, and yet we'll take advantage of the word of God. The Bible tells us, listen, that the word of God is one of the manifestations of God's power here on this earth. The preached word of God. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's an incredible thought when someone gets up here and they open up God's word and they preach the word of God. Listen, God's power comes on and he fills this place and he applies the preaching to our hearts. We ought to take advantage of the opportunities to hear the preached word of God. So as Christians, we ought to be receiving God's word on a daily basis in our own personal lives. You realize we take for granted so often the opportunity to have a Bible, multiple Bibles in our homes, in our language, something that we can read on a daily basis, a Bible that we can understand, and a wise Christian will take advantage of the opportunity to receive the word of God through personal Bible study. What about through personal or through biblical counsel? Finding someone who will tell you what you need to hear and not necessarily sometimes the things that you want to hear. But we take advantage of those opportunities to receive the word of God. And so we find here that a wise Christian, listen, will run to God's word. But I also see here in this passage, a wise Christian will set aside personal feelings. The way I feel about something. The way I think about something. And a wise Christian will set aside personal feelings and allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. You realize as we go through difficulties, sometimes we're not thinking right. And a wise person allows, listen, I will set aside what I'm thinking so that I can receive what God would have me to receive and allow the Holy Spirit to direct me. He says there in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That's the receiving of God's word, running to God's word. But notice he says they're slow to speak and slow to wrath. You know what my speech and my wrath are? Those are personal feelings. Listen, someone comes to me and they do me wrong. My personal feeling is to give that person a piece of my mind. Get vengeance for myself. Take care of things. He says there in verse 20, he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Listen, what the flesh desires to do often does not take me closer to God in righteousness. It often drives me further away from God. And so he says, we're the responsibility, we're to be swift to hear, but we're to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Remove those things from my life and receive with meekness the engrafted word. I tell you, verses 19 through 21, a portion of those verses, those deal with how the natural man deals with the problem. I mean, that's how the world deals with the problem, doesn't it? Again, we mentioned it before. Someone wrongs me, I get even. I go through a time of difficulty, and therefore, I just find whatever method of coping that I can through that time of difficulty. The world uses it as an excuse to do whatever I desire to do that will help me get through it. I mean, that's the way the world views problems. Let me figure this out on my own. If I need to withdraw from people, if I need to withdraw from church, if I need to withdraw from spiritual counsel, that's how the world deals with problems. And James helps us understand, because you are saved, it's not okay to act like this. It's not okay for me to do whatever. It's not okay for me to just listen, run my mouth and let my speech and my wrath run and do whatever. It's not okay because you're saved. Because as a child of God, you're responsible to set aside what you feel so that you can receive what you need from God's word. As God's word is opened. Listen, can I tell you, we come in here bearing burdens. We approach our time of Bible study and our own personal lives carrying burdens. We have a particular way in which we feel. Can I tell you that sometimes when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, I don't always desire to get into God's Word. I may not have the right thinking, but a wise Christian will set aside what they think or what they feel so that they can be directed from God's Word. He says there in verse 21, he says that we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Pastor preached on meekness last week and the idea of Jesus Christ preaching on meekness there in the Beatitudes. And I love the definition of Pastor gave last week. The idea of meekness, it's not weakness, but it's power. My power and my self-will and my pride. In my anger, all under control, allowing the Holy Spirit to direct me as I live this life. And listen, can I tell you the reason that's important? Because we all have natural feelings. We all have flesh. We all have the desire to avenge ourselves and take care of our personal needs. Listen, when we get hurt, we all have the desire to hurt back. Listen, that's a natural and that's a normal thing, but as Christians, he says, listen, it's time to set aside those things and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Listen, what this means for us in our lives, we will deal with hurt. We'll deal with pain. I wish I could stand before you tonight and say, listen, the day you got saved, that's the last day you ever deal with a hard time. It's the last time you ever deal with a problem. It's the last time you ever deal with rejection, or that's the last time you ever deal with wrong thoughts or difficulties as you live this life. But I would be foolish to stand before you and say that, because that's simply not true. But listen, in those times of hurt, in those times of suffering, if we'll run to the Word of God and we'll set aside our will and we'll receive His truth, can I tell you? It will keep us from making some critical errors in judgment. He says there, receive with meekness that engrafted word. Listen, when we do that, it's able to save your souls. Through God's help and through His available help in His word. As I look across this audience tonight, many could give testimony tonight of a hurt that came in their life or a trial that came in their life. And listen, the feeling that you had was not right thinking. And yet you ran to God's word and you set aside personal feelings so that God could use that situation, so that God could give you right thinking, so that God could direct your steps. And listen, there are some people in this room who have overcome some incredible hurts and some incredible struggles. Why? Because they received God's word. They received the help of God's word. And I want to remind you tonight, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for past victories, but I also want to say this. Listen, we can never rest in past victories because we realize there's some difficulty that's coming up in my life. How many realize that life is a series of ups and downs, mountaintops and valleys? And often, here's what happens. We get through a victory, and we're rejoicing in that, and Satan has a valley right around the corner. Something that he desires to defeat us with. And so may we never rest, and may we understand the truth of God's word, that as a Christian, we ought to be receiving God's word. Listen, you'll never get to a place in your Christian life when you've received all you can of God's word. Listen, tomorrow you need to get in God's word and receive it. Tuesday, Wednesday, you need to get into your personal Bible study. You need to come to church on Wednesday night and receive from God's word and continue to bring these things in your life. We need to continue to seek biblical counsel, receiving God's word. And so we see this first point here in the book of James, is that a Christian ought to receive God's word. But I got to tell you, we can't stop there. The second thought he gives us here is that we must not only receive God's word, but then we must apply God's word. Look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. And we're doers. That's the application of the truth. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Hearing is simply receiving. Listen, I tell you, receiving the word of God is important. But we can't stop short there. We can't just say, oh good, I came to church and I'm good because I'm here on Sunday and I was here in all three services. No, we must continue forward into not only just receiving God's word, but applying God's word. He says, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Can I tell you, you will fall short of victory if God's word is not applied? Even if you are receiving, but you're not applying, you'll fall short of victory. As we look at this passage, I want to give you two thoughts under this idea of applying the word of God. The first thought is this, and we see it here from this passage. Biblical truth not applied is biblical truth forgotten. As we come in here and as we receive the word of God, as the pastor gets up and preaches the word of God, and yet if we don't apply that to our specific life, can I tell you, the Bible tells us that is biblical truth that then is forgotten. Look at verse 23 and verse 24. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word, he receives the word of God, and not a doer. He doesn't apply it. He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. We understand the word glass, that has to do with a mirror of some type, looking and seeing your reflection in a mirror. The truth is that when the word of God is opened, it reveals to us who we are. The changes that we need to make in our lives. He says, if anybody hear the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself. He sees what needs to be changed. And he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That word forgetteth is such an important word that we see here in this passage. Can I tell you what? This is such a sad passage of Scripture. And the reason it's sad is because, listen, this indicates a sincere Christian, does it not? I mean, they're in their place to receive God's word. They're finding their way, they're receiving, they're being hearers of the word of God. They're sincere in wanting to receive God's word. They desire to do right. And yet for whatever reason, they stop short of applying that to their life. Maybe the devil comes in and says, well, this isn't necessarily for you. Maybe their thought is, well, I'm sure this applies to this person and this person, but this truth really doesn't apply to me. For whatever reason, there's sincerity in wanting to receive the word of God, but we don't go through with the full thought of applying the word of God. It refers, actually verse 25, it refers to this person as a forgetful hearer. In verse 25, he says the opposite of this person is that person who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. And so he uses that phrase to describe someone who receives the word of God but doesn't apply the word of God. He calls them a forgetful hearer. I want to ask you this question tonight. Have you ever dealt with a forgetful hearer? The frustration that there is with that person? Listen, your kids may not be like my kids, but on occasion my kids have been forgetful hearers. Listen, we tell them, hey, you're going to bed at this certain time and you can do this and you can have some time to play your video games or watch TV or that, but before you do that, I want you to do this, this, and this. And they're sincere and they say, yes, we'll do those things. And later on, You say, did you do those things? Oh, I forgot. But I don't want to spend too much time on my kids tonight, and I don't want to embarrass them if I haven't already. Because I want you to understand something. I have been guilty of being a forgetful here on more than one occasion. Just ask my wife. There have been, on more than one occasion, I know you find this hard to believe tonight. She's called me, and maybe I'm at work, or maybe I'm on my way home from work, or I'm doing something, and she'd say, hey, can you bring this home with you tonight? Can you stop by the store and pick this up? Listen, I want to be the first to tell you, I love my wife. I desire to please her because, not because I'm afraid of her. I promise. But because I love her. One of the ways I show my love for her is doing things for her. And in all sincerity, I receive that. And I say, yes, I will do. I'd be happy to do that for you. And here's what I found. If I don't stop and make a note in that moment, put a reminder on my phone, do something else, I get caught up in my other work. And listen, I may have had all the sincerity in the world, but I arrive at home and she looks at me and she says, hey, did you pick that up? Did you bring that home? And I look at her and I say, I forgot. And all I'll say this is, it's a good thing I live close to the church. Because I've come back several times trying to do what I should have done in the first place. May I tell you? There's frustration. And she's very kind and she's very sweet about it. But there's frustration that I see on her. And I desire to do these things. And I want you to understand, can I tell you, as we come to the Word of God, it's not simply okay just to come to church and receive the Word of God. Listen, I want to tell you, that's important. Don't get me wrong tonight. That's important. We ought to be in God's house, and we ought to be receiving God's Word, and we ought to be studying the Word of God in our daily lives and doing our devotions. But it's not okay simply to receive the Word of God if we don't apply the Word of God to our life. Listen, when we come to church and we receive the Word of God, but we don't apply it, how many of you realize this? You understand outside those doors are 1,000 different distractions, starting with the Kroger table, the things I want to take home, conversations that I have. Listen, not bad conversations, just distractions to what God has done in my heart. Can I tell you why? That's why the invitation is so important. Because it's an opportunity to not only take what we've received, but it's an opportunity to apply it to our specific situation. To realize this is what God has done in my life. And yet the Bible says when we don't apply God's word, we receive it, but we don't apply it. The Bible says, verse 24, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We can walk out the doors of the auditorium and we forget what God has done in our lives because we didn't take specific steps to apply it. We can open up the Word of God in our private devotions and we can read it, but if we don't apply it, we can close the Bible and we can walk away from our devotional time. And yes, we received the Word of God, but we didn't allow it to change us. And James says, listen, as you go through difficulties and as you go through trials and as you just go through this life, you ought to not only be receiving God's word, but applying God's word. And the truth is, we see here in this passage, when we don't apply God's word, the Bible says we deceive our own selves. Now I realize tonight, listen, the devil's a deceiver. The devil's a liar. But I gotta tell you, as Christians, oftentimes we deceive our own selves because we receive God's word and we take it in. And we're here, but we don't apply it to our lives. The Bible says we deceive ourselves. Can I remind you tonight, you're accountable for the truth that you receive from God's word. The Bible says, to whom much is given, of him shall be much required. And here's the danger. I want you to understand what I say, what I mean when I say this. If we're not careful, the act of coming to church can become more important than the reason that we come. If we're not careful, listen. The act of having daily devotions can become more important than the reason that we have daily devotions. And here's what I mean by that. If we're not careful, we can simply pat ourselves on the back because we were at all three services on Sunday. Because, quite frankly, it's a struggle sometimes, is it not? There's distractions, there's things that go on, and listen, there's other things that would take us away from the church house, and yet we're here. And yet the act of coming to church, listen, let's never forget the reason why we come. To receive God's word, but then to apply God's word. Let me ask you this question. What did God do in your heart today? Through the Sunday school hour, the truths that were taught in your Sunday school class. Yes, you received them, but did you apply them? What about this morning service? This pastor got up here and preached, and he preached the Word of God. Yes, you received the Word of God, but did you apply it to your life? How did the things that you received as you were at church today, how will they help you this week? What specific steps have you taken to put those things in place as you go to work tomorrow and as you might deal with some difficult coworkers? What if you get a phone call this week that, listen, there's a trial just up ahead, or you find some bad news? How did you being at church on Sunday, how did it change your life this week? Because listen, if we're not careful, we come and we receive, but we stop short of applying God's word to our lives. We find there the first thought is biblical truth not applied is biblical truth forgotten. But finally, and very quickly, we'll be done in just a few moments. Biblical truth applied brings God's blessings in our lives. Verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. First of all, I want to just praise God for the perfect book that He's given to us in His Word. Listen. You can't go wrong by looking to God's word and receiving and applying it in your life. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein on a daily basis, going to God's word, finding the help. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Now that's interesting, isn't it? In fact, I've read some people that say, well, that's a mistake in the King James Bible. No, there's not a mistake here. They look back in verse 23 and they say, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, and then they go to verse 25 and they say, but a doer of the work, that's a mistake. Can I tell you, that's very much on purpose. God has that there for us. Because when we receive the word of God, can I tell you, that's when the work begins. Applying the Word of God to your situation and to your life involves effort. And quite frankly, I think that's sometimes why we stop short of applying God's Word to our life, because quite frankly, it scares us to think about, what if I do take this step of faith? Listen, what if God speaks to me about this situation, and this situation takes me outside of my comfort zone? What do I do in that situation? And so he says this, but a doer of the work. Can I tell you, the Christian life involves effort? In fact, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke in chapter 6. Here Jesus is speaking in Luke in chapter 6, and quite honestly, probably where James takes the basis of his teaching that we're studying here tonight, in James in chapter 1. He says in verse 47 of Luke chapter 6, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them. The receiving of Jesus' words, but then the applying of Jesus' words. He says, I will show you to whom he is like. He said, this is the example of that person that not only receives my word, but applies my word. He says, he is like a man which built an house and digged deep. There's some effort there. There's some labor that takes place there. He's digging deep into the words of God and allowing it to change him. And he laid the foundation on a rock. We understand that rock is Jesus Christ. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. I'm just going to tell you, as we receive God's words, as we apply them to our lives, there are storms coming. But the effort that takes place in building your life upon the firm foundation that is Jesus Christ, the effort that takes place, let me just tell you, will help you to weather the storms that you go through in this life. Because there are difficulties coming. And there are floods that are coming in this life. And yet, listen, we're not founded upon anything else but the rock that is Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 49, "But he that heareth and doeth not, he receives, but he doesn't make application." Why? Well, maybe he just doesn't think the truth is for him. Or maybe he's just not willing to expend the effort that it takes to apply the word of God. He is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. It's not established on that rock. He's built upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And notice the next words of this verse. And the ruin of that house was great. The Christian who receives God's word but does not apply it. Listen, the storms of life come, and they're oftentimes a bit too much for that person to deal with. And they run, and the Bible says the ruin of that life, the ruin of that house is great. We understand here in this passage, biblical truth applied brings God's blessing. He says, verse 25 there, "He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You say, where are the blessings? Well, that word deed, it comes from a Greek word. It's translated, the meaning of that really has the idea of an action or a performance. It's not the type of performance we think of someone getting up in front of a crowd and singing a song or acting in a play. Not that type of a performance, but a performance of the life and the roles in which God has called us to live our lives. So I think about the roles that God has placed in my life. Well, first of all, I'm a Christian. And then I'm a husband. And then I'm a father. I have four children. And then, of course, I am in ministry. I'm an assistant pastor. And I have ministries. And so I have all these hats that I wear as I live this life. Can I tell you, God's word, receiving and applying God's word will be the fundamental reason you and I live the victorious Christian life. It'll be the fundamental reason that I can be the Christian I need to be. The fundamental reason I can be the wife, the spouse that my wife needs me to be. It'll be the fundamental reason that I am the father that my children need me to be, and that I can be the assistant pastor that this church needs me to be, and that I can fulfill the ministries that God desires me to be, because I'm receiving God's word, and then I'm applying God's word to my life. And the Bible says this man, when he does that, will be blessed in his deed. Those things that God calls us to do. Can I tell you, if I'm struggling as a dad? If I'm struggling in my relationship with my children? If I'm struggling with my relationship with my spouse, or if I'm having a hard time as I'm navigating and negotiating this life, can I tell you, most likely it's somewhere between receiving and applying God's word in my heart and my life. Because the promise is there. Is this not a promise that James gives us from God, that if we'll do these things, if we'll receive God's word and we'll apply God's word, that we will be blessed in the things that we do for him? Blessed in his deed. Listen, this ought to change. Knowing these truths, it ought to change how I listen to preaching. That when pastor gets up here and preaches the word of God, that I'm not simply here just receiving, but I'm looking to specifically apply it to my life, my situation. I tell you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to, he will apply the message to your heart. God's word doesn't return void. As you open the word of God and you study it on your own, listen, this ought to change how we read our Bible. That I'm not just here crossing my daily plan off a list here. But then there's a purpose in me reading my Bible that I would not only receive, but that I would apply God's word to my heart and life. That as a Christian, I would make the decision to never leave a service without making application. How am I going to be different because of the truths I've just heard preached? That I wouldn't close my Bible after I've done studying it without, listen, making application in my life. Here's the deal, though, tonight. The good news is, for us, the fix is simple. Maybe you're struggling in an area tonight or something like that. The fix is simple. Simply receive God's word while you're here. That's the first step. But then take what you've received and apply it to your heart and your life. So let me ask a question tonight. How are you doing? Take an inventory of, well, quite frankly, your devotional life. Yes, you've received God's word. But is there improvement or room for improvement in the application of God's word? Maybe there's someone in here, and quite frankly, you say, Brother Andy, I'm just not as faithful to receive God's word in my own personal Bible study as I need to be. Well, that's the first step. Receive it and then apply it. How about when we come to church? Listen, we come with a million things on our mind, do we not? But as we receive God's word, are we applying God's word to our life? Verse 25, and we're finished. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Powerful promise from Scripture. If I could ever every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. How are you doing as you live the Christian life? Are we receiving God's word first and foremost? And then let me ask you this question tonight. Are you applying God's word? God's word is powerful. It has all the help that you and I would have need of. But we need to take advantage of it. And praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in church and receive God's word. But am I applying God's word? Am I taking advantage of what God has for me in his word? Lord, we come before you tonight. I'm so thankful for these that have gathered here tonight, Lord. And I'm thankful for your word. And as we take it and we apply it to our lives, Lord, we can find the help that we have need of. And I pray for each and every Christian that's gathered here tonight, Lord, that they would take advantage of your word. Lord, these simple and yet very, very practical steps of receiving your word and then applying your word. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord. I pray that you do a work in our hearts. Lord, help us to make the decisions that we need to make. So, Lord, that it changes us and enables us to deal with the things that we have to deal with. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.